following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee, episode 325 of the old program.
Yeah, I have the back door open with the house here. It's the side door to the studio, because it's nice, and the cats wanted to hang outside on the old back patio. It's screened in, so it's nice. No bugs, none of that business, and it is. It's rather pleasant out there. It's really nice. And I just ate a sandwich. Here I am sitting here just giving you my rundown. I mentioned that because, probably under some other circumstances, I might have gone somewhere and picked up something to eat and brought it home because, I'm lazy. And I've been spending more time cooking, of course, having a large time with it as well, as are a lot of people that are riding out the COVID-19 pandemic at their home. There's a weird thing happening here in Memphis starting tomorrow, Monday, which, by the way, today is the third day of May of 2020. It's a Sunday. And tomorrow, Monday, things are opening up, and it's going to be a little unusual around these parts. It's going to be interesting because about half the people in this city aren't buying it. And the other half are like, oh, yeah, here we go. It's kind of what I'm going to get into today, that and some other interesting things as well. So, strap in for that. Also, I want to hip you to this. There's a picture that I have posted onto my Instagram page. You can find, just search Rick Cheddar. You'll find me there. And it's on Twitter, and it's on the other one, Facebook. And I'm sitting at a headstone. Has the word going on it. And in one hand I've got a microphone, and in the other hand I have a flask of whiskey. And there's something afoot, is there? Yeah, it's a still that was taken from the set. I use that weirdly because since I don't have anything else going on in my world, I don't have enough to do. I'm involved now with a production that is going on to YouTube. The program. It's already in production. There's several episodes already done. Once some more get finished, we'll get them up there for you, and we'll tell you about them. It started weak. I'll tell you. It started kind of lame, but it's getting better as these things do. And it's time to enter into the YouTube world. And why the hell not? So we picked a subject that would be kind of fun to get into. And the idea here of the show is, well, it's called, it's the name of the show sets up the whole thing. It's drinking with dead people. It's the ultimate social distancing thing, really. But it's history based, and it's fun. I'm learning a lot about various individuals that have lived and died, especially here in this area, because, Memphis being what it is. And when we mapped out what we're looking at here as far as, how many episodes we can really do here, there's a ton. There was a lot more than I anticipated, that's for sure. That's going to be happening soon. So stick around. We'll tell you about that once it gets a little bit closer. And we'll sneak a trailer out there for you, too, to have some fun with that as well. And if that wasn't enough, there's actually a second show I'm involved in. Yes, that'll be different. That's more of a Radio Memphis type thing, but it's also a YouTube production as well. So some interesting things that will be happening coming your way as we cruise through our quarantine time together, which is kind of what I want to talk about. It's our lives at home, our isolated world at home, and there's some things that are going on out there technologically speaking, which is making things a little easier. But at the same time, we're all chomping at the bit to get back to some sort of life as normal. And I'm here to tell you, kids, that is not going to be the case. And I'll explain that and more as we continue on with this episode from Radioland right after this.
Wizards is corona-free and is your headquarters for your essential quarantine supplies. Their viral sale is happening right now with deals throughout the store. Get some sage to chase away the bad stuff. Incense, woodwick candles, decorative fans, and things to keep you busy while you're stuck at home. T-shirts, bandanas, hats, and more on sale right now. CBD, Kratom products, and personal cleansers for that job interview. Open 10 to 10 every day at 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown, or get it all delivered when you order online at wizardsmemphis.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
Okay, so there we go. Here we are. It is the early part of May. Tomorrow is the 4th of May. The May the 4th be with you thing for all you Star Wars. Same thing. It's all been so muddied. Christ. I know some of the nerds are over there going, oh, I can hear the angry typing now. The idea here is that it has come from on high, the president of the United States, that guy, to really push the reopening of the country. Let's get the economy back up and running. He needs this. He's got to have the economy up and running or he's not going to win the election. That's kind of what it boils down to. And he knows this, and it's not going to happen for him, I'm afraid, because... Not really afraid, but, you know, that's the way it is. Because in the states that have done the reopening, and we've been watching them fairly carefully, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of going okay, kind of not. Georgia is one such state we've been looking at because they've just gone full bore and said, let's just open everything up. And they're still seeing a rise in the infections of COVID-19. Here in Memphis, the state of Tennessee was in a pretty precarious position here because the mayor here, his name is Jim Strickland, and I don't like politicizing this, but I'm left with no choice on this, so I'm going to have to do this. The idea here was that the mayor, who's a Democrat, is the leader of one of the largest cities in the state of Tennessee. Okay, there's like two or three of them here, and they're all pretty big. Then there's Nashville, and then there's, I think, Knoxville. Okay, so on that, you've got the governor of the state of Tennessee. His name is Bill Lee. He's a Republican, and he wants to get the state back up and running pretty quickly as he has been sort of lambasted by the White House. Mike Pence, the vice president of the U.S., is the guy who's allegedly running the whole show here. And he's just the lapdog of the president. It's typically how that works. So there was this big push to get everybody up and running, right? So the Republican governors have been put into play, I guess sort of pressured, if you will, to get this done in some way, shape, or fashion. And when that word started coming out that the mayor was going to be lifting in the state of Tennessee the safer at home restrictions on Monday, the 4th of May, immediately there was a little bit of a backlash, and including from our own city hall, the mayor here, Jim Strickland, he immediately said, we're not doing that. The safer at home restrictions that are being lifted doesn't count for all of the counties in the state. There were some exceptions to that rule, and that exception included Shelby County, which is Memphis. And Jim said, you can go back in his Twitter and probably find it, but he did say that we weren't going to do squat until the numbers come down over a 2-week period. Okay. He said the number of infections must go down. The number of fatalities must go down. The availability of hospital space must be maintained available, and that includes the use of ventilators, mind you. And all of the things that go with this sort of thing, right? So, with this happening, it flipped. It turned around. And Strickland came out last week and said, hey, everything's great, we're going to reopen. Yet you see in various news outlets and those who watch this thing very carefully that the numbers are not going down for this area. In fact, they're kind of going up. But goddammit, we got to get the economy up and running. So the first thing they did, since Memphis is a tourism and restaurant town, they said they looked right dead square at the restaurants and said, get them open. Now, to be fair, the Memphis Restaurant Association, which is run by a cat by the name of Ernie Meller, I think is his name. And the Tennessee Restaurant Association is run by, I don't know, John Smith. And they got together, they got to the governor's ear, and they said, hey, this would be a good way to get things going. So a compromise was struck. And I'm paraphrasing here. I'm really shortening this because I don't have all day. Neither do you. So the idea here was that we would open under certain restrictions. And those restrictions would be that the restaurants could open up at 50% capacity. It was originally going to be 30%, but somehow that got turned around to 50% capacity. In essence, if your restaurant can hold 100 people, you can only serve 50 at a time. If you wanted to go to the Home Depot to go pick up your spring flowers, you'd have to stand in line outside. They'd only let so many people into the stores. And they were doing that, to be fair. I went over to one such place to get something. I forgot. And it must not have been all that important. And there we had to wait in line for a little bit. That's okay. They don't let you in unless you got a mask on. I got it. You know, face coverings. Yeah. So all that shit's going on. With this in mind, everything just suddenly changed, and it was as if it happened literally overnight. The Shelby County Health Department saying the numbers are down. Well, what's going on here? And it doesn't take much of a rocket scientist to make this look good. Is that the numbers, of course, are going down if you average them out across every county in the state. Why is this? Well, there's a lot of rural counties in Tennessee. Of course there are. There are some counties that have never seen one infection. Understandable. And lucky for them. And there are those who did have like one or two and then they recovered, which means that, hey, the numbers are going down. So let's look at it across the state. Let's not look at it across a city. Now, right there is where I immediately began to have a problem because it's like, wait a minute. The math ain't working. So it was turned over to the restaurants, and they said, okay, you guys can open up. And they were thinking, the state was, and the city, I guess, was that everything would be just hunky-dory. Everything would just return to normalcy right out of the chute. Roughly half of the restaurants in this city are opening. They want them all open. But there are some restaurant owners here in town, and my hat's off to them, who are saying, we're not risking the lives and the expense over something that could backfire on everybody. And the idea is that if there is a second wave, and there probably will be, there could be. I hope I'm wrong. But we've seen this happen, a reinfection rate. It's going to go back up because people are now milling about. They're going to go into these restaurants. They're going to go do whatever it is that they're going to do. And they're going to go have fun and forget that this even occurred. And people are going to start getting sick again. And then all of a sudden, Strickland's going to have to backpedal again and go, wait a minute. We gotta shut our shit down again. And that's going to be costly. And it's probably going to put restaurants out of business that have decided to jump into the opening game. It's going to be interesting to see. Personally, I side with a lot of servers in the city. They all think it's too soon. And the restaurant owners are going, oh, bullshit. You don't think that way. You just like your unemployment money because you're making that instead of getting out there and actually doing some hard-ass work. Well, you know, let's be fair here. If you're going to open up to 50% capacity and you're going to keep all of your staff and everybody's going to get, one or two tables, maybe three tables if you're lucky, if it's a large enough joint. And you're going to have, in essence, one or two shifts a week that are going to be worth this shit. Yeah, I'm going to be making more money in unemployment without the added risk of catching the fucking COVID. That's a thing. And what's going to happen when somebody gets sick? There are those who have said, when that question was posed, what's going to happen when that gets sick? Well, that's just your opinion. That's not an opinion. That's a fact. What happens when that does happen? It probably will. We're going to be stuck with this thing for a while. Yesterday, I was out and about a little bit, mostly from the car, and there were COVID parties happening. There were parties in the neighborhood. They're like, oh, it's over. It ain't over. You know, nowhere near from this. Just because you think, oh, we can go back to our restaurants again. Look, some things are going to be sticking around. You know this, don't you? some things are going to be the way it was, and some things are going to be brand new to us. Social distancing, I think, is one of those things. We are going to be a little leery about being around other people. That's just human nature. A mask of some sort is probably going to be sort of standard fare for a long, long time. And that's okay. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. It's something else that I thought long and hard about, too, was how the world of employment will work for office workers. They don't need to be in an office. They've proven that. The internet came around and said, hey, we're here for you. And so Zoom showed up. Well, Zoom had been around for a bit, to be fair. Facebook has a thing that they're doing that is very similar to Zoom. They're all trying to go after Zoom. And Google, on top of that, now Google's had Hangout for a long time. They've just repackaged it. They're cleaning it up and they're doing some other stuff with it. But Google Meet is a thing. And when I first heard about Google Meet, I was hoping and praying that it would be M-E-A-T, but it's not. They are going after the Zoom market for those that can telecommute from home. So you don't have to be in the office to sit through a colossally waste of time meeting. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. It's beautiful, really. You can go serve the corporate master from the comfort of your laptop on the couch with the TV on muted while you're watching the Flintstones. But you're still getting your shit done, right? You know, I get it. These things are going to be more prevalent. You know that, don't you? Because, you know, there's all this talk, too, about using cell phone data to track you wherever it is that you go. Where is it that you where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you hanging out with? You know, it's like your nervous mother. Where are you going? How long are you going to be there? Look, there's all those people there. I don't think you should be over there. They're dirty people. You need to make sure you carry clean underwear with you. God knows something might happen to you. Don't be hanging around that kid. That little kid over there. He's going to be trouble. That's probably going to be a thing. It's somebody going to be ratting you out to everywhere that you go because they're using it for contact tracing. Yeah, I get it. It's supposed to be anonymous, whatever. It may or may not be. You know, if you come and let's see how anonymous it is when you come down with it. And then all of a sudden you get an alert that says, hey, you were hanging around somebody that got it. And we know who you are and what you've been doing. And we know what you're looking at on the internet, too, by God. It's going to be that. But meanwhile, while you're working from home, you're going to be too tempted to run off to an actual restaurant for lunch, and you got 50% capacity, but you got to stand outside and wait for 30 minutes, and now your lunch hour is being consumed because you're standing there on a little X that's been marked on the sidewalk with some tape because you can't go any more than 6 feet closer to the guy in front of you, and you got to wait for somebody else to get out because the longer this day goes on, the more that those people had to wait outside, the longer they're going to stay inside that fucking restaurant. And you know that by the time that you get in there and you're going to go, you know, I had to wait 40 minutes for this table. By God, I'm staying here an hour and a half. They're not going to be able to turn those tables. They're just not. But by God, these people will risk life and limb for a slice of cornbread and some turnip greens, by God. And that's the way it's going to be. And no, it's not a good idea. Go back to your home. Go to the grocery if you need to. Pick up some stuff, make it there, and go back to your worthless, contrived meeting at corporate via the internet. And away you go. Am I bitter? Yeah, but because I used to work in that environment. I seriously did, and it was awful. Yeah, I was in showbiz and all, but it was just awful to do it that way or think of it that way. Sit there through those useless meetings and wondering what the hell was coming out of it, you know, for them to just lay down the new corporate buzzwords and shit. That stuff never stops, even during a pandemic. And that's just it. The humanity has been thrown right out the window. You got to remember... I think this frames this perfectly. The quote that came from the lieutenant governor of the state of Texas, a guy by the name of Dan Patrick. You know what he said? There's more important things than living. He said that. We've been talking about it on the air, LJ and I, on the morning show at radio-memphis.com. Weekdays, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., except for Monday. way to work the punch in. But that's just it. There's more important things than living, he says. It's important to leave behind to his grandchildren an economy that they can rely on. And it can only happen thanks to the usage of that jackass in the White House, because he's the one that's pushing it forward. Let's not forget the fact that there was probably some serious money involved, which is why the city opened up as quickly as they did. Look, am I being a conspiracy theorist? No, not at all. Does it sound like it? Absolutely. But here's the deal. When you dangle, like, I don't know, $114.5 million that could be given to the city of Memphis, if you get your people back to work, then what? Is that a thing? Could very well be. Do I have any evidence to substantiate this particular claim? Not in the least. Have I heard it said a few times? Absolutely. And why is this? Because the economy, there's nothing more important than the economy. I don't buy that. There's a lot of people out of work right now, and a lot of those jobs are just not coming back. That's just a plain simple fact right there. It's not going to be the way it was. It's not going to be a thing. I just saw this, a headline. Donald Trump attacks George W. Bush after Bush called for unity amid coronavirus outbreak. He did a video, Bush did, calling for unity. We should back each other up. And, of course, Trump took it as a personal attack because he's a big baby like that. I'm fascinated. But that's just what we're dealing with here. I've been hesitant to politicize any of this, but see, here's the thing. You have no choice because it's already been done that way. It's already been politicized. We're sort of stuck with this. Lord have mercy, the idiots across Facebook, they're making it easier for me to clean up who's on that list. Yeah, unfriend you. And they go, oh, Rick, you're just being petty for unfriending somebody because they have a different political view. Look, that's not it. It's not a different political view. The difference is when somebody is supporting violence, right? When they have the right to protest, which they do, they look ridiculous in a time of a pandemic, right? They think that their rights are being trampled upon and that this whole COVID thing is no big deal. It's as if all of the sudden the people that were all anti-abortion are now right-to-lifers, and the people that were all lives matter don't give a shit about anybody but themselves. That's what that is. You don't have to agree with me. I don't give a shit. But let's see how this is all shaking out, because a big, stark, bright light is going to be just shining all over this thing. And Lord happens, what's gonna go on in November with a reelection campaign and a challenger in Joe Biden? And one side has is, well, there's this woman that's claiming that she was sexually assaulted by Joe Biden. That's all they got. Where the guy in the White House now is, what, 14 sexual assault counts against him? He paid off 2 porn stars? Come on. Is that all you got? Hell, the only thing they really had against Obama was the fact he wore a tan suit and he put Dijon mustard on a hot dog. Please. Come on. And yet we're sitting here going, okay, let's get everything open. And now there's this false sense of security, which is exactly what this is. It's a false sense of security that everything is going to be just fine now. Everything is going to be open again. Well, the people that I've spoken to about all this as well, my friends, the people that I know, they're not going out. And just because the restrictions have been, quote unquote, lifted to some extent, that doesn't mean they're going to go out. They're not going to risk it. They're like the other 50% of restaurant owners in this city who say that the lives and the safety of my staff is far more important than a goddamn sandwich. And they're right. They are absolutely right. Now you have, as the person who is listening to this, you have the absolute right to go and do what it is that you want to do. If you want to go to one of these restaurants, knock yourself out. If you choose to stay home, great. Whatever it is that you want to do. But be prepared. When the first couple of weeks don't go so well for some of these restaurants, and they're going to like, wow, things are really starting to hurt. We need to We need to shame people into, well, you need to come back to our restaurant. You need to come back. Come on, back to us. Look at this melty cheese goodness that we pour all over this stuff. Come on. We'll hook you up with an extra order of yeast rolls. Come on. They tease you with food because that's what Americans think with. They think with their mouths. Got to be covered in cheese, man. It's got to be deep fried. It's got to be beyond supersize because we're fat. We've slimmed down in quarantine, and we gotta build it back up again. And meanwhile, you're gonna be sitting there stuck at your laptop dealing with your boss who's working from home as well, who's really not working. That's just it. Think about it. It's like these restaurant owners. They're not in there waiting tables or flipping burgers. Not a lot of them are. No. They're sitting there going, no, I need to get my staff back to work so I can get back on the beach. Yeah. For a sizable restaurant, that's exactly what that is. They just kind of phone it in. I know some people would be like, oh, that's not true, Rick. Yeah, it is. It's maybe not 100% of the cases, but there's some that... Look, if Ruth's Chris Steakhouse applies and gets a $20 million SBA PPP loan, and they get so much shit for it, they have to turn it back in, what does that tell you? What does that fucking tell you? The second go-around with the SBA loans was a disaster, just as bad. And it scared the shit out of the small business owners that could got this money, because now they just want to give it back because they're afraid to spend it because of all of the restrictions that are coming into that. They want to do it right. You got to open your books up to the man. You got to show every cause is justified and paid for, and taxes and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. Look, man. The mob don't give you money without expecting it back. And it's no different from this. What's going to happen in tax time? Hey, remember that money we gave you? Yeah, we said you didn't have to pay it all back, but, you know, you're going to need to give us about 30% of it. You're going to be taxed on that, motherfucker. That's coming. That's, you know. Now people go, no, it's not going to be the... Come on. They backdoor these deals all the stinking time. Both of those stimulus deals had so much pork built into them. Christ. And it's not the good kind either. It's just what it was. Disastrous. And that's how it shakes out. And it's unfortunate. It's absolutely, unequivocally unfortunate. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You show up, do your thing, then move along, right? Keep your head down. Keep your mask on. If you don't have to go nowhere, don't go nowhere. Oh, but my restaurant, I can hear it calling. I hear those tacos. They're beckoning. Look, man, I love Mexican food as much as the next guy, and I miss going to the Mexican restaurants. But I ain't going. I don't miss it that bad. You know, restaurants were always they were a luxury item. That was a convenience. That was a thing. You know, that's what you paid for. You're paying for the food. You're paying for the environment. You're paying for the atmosphere. You're paying for the service. You're paying for the fact that you're not having to cook at home. You're paying to be catered. That's what that is. That's the whole point. And now they're acting like it's a necessity. It's not. Unless you're a tourist, it's not. Oh, somebody, there was a post I saw earlier today on Facebook. Oh, we have to pray for our Airbnb owners because they got hurt by all of this. Oh, fuck you. Seriously. I live in a neighborhood that has these things all up and down the street. And I can tell you, as a person who owns a home across the street from an Airbnb, it sucks. It is because there's somebody over there all the time. You don't know what's going on. Nobody's screening these people. Wild parties happening out in the middle of the street. I'm not sounding like a crotchety old man, I promise you. It's just that there's a reality to living with this sort of thing. Because when you live in a neighborhood where everybody owns their home, or at least renting for a long period of time, you get to know who those people are. And when you have one, it's just a constant cycle of people coming in and out every week and not knowing what the hell to expect. Or you get stopped and they're asking you, hey, we heard there's like some really good blues music down there on the Beale Avenue. Do we know how to get down there? Can you steer us in the right direction, young man? I get that. and you're forced to tell them the truth, of course, you know. So I was like, yeah, so you go down here, you go there, and bring a lot of cash and, you know, get the big ass beer. Oh, do they have it in the Coors? Because I like the Coors. Sure they do. And everybody knows the big ass beer on Beale Street is from Natty Light. That's the tourist whiskey is always the worst bourbon you can find. They just pour it into a Jack Daniels bottle. And they go, oh, Rick, you're making these accusations. Is there any of this true? Oh, yeah, I've seen it happen. Anybody who's spent any time in this city and down on that street specifically will know exactly what I'm talking about. Because it's not a place for the locals to go. They've tried that. It didn't work out well. So it's time to, you know, not worry about the Airbnbs because as it has been proven, look, let's take a look at Silicon Valley, okay? San Francisco area, right? The Bay Area. It's the smartest place on the planet, right? There's these kids over there. They're making billions and billions of dollars on technology and whatnot, but not one of these motherfuckers figured this shit out, did they? Did they figure a pandemic was going to come in? And when it did happen, what did they do? Nothing. They did absolutely nothing for the cause. And that, my friends, is kind of alarming. So it shows we don't necessarily need that. That's another side effect to all of this, you see. We don't need Lyft. We don't need Uber, per se. Oh, they're hurting, too. Oh, yeah. Oh, you can't have that food delivered to your home again. Oh, boo-hoo. Hey, the economy's going to be so fucked up, you're not going to be able to want to do that. Oh, we want to go stay in an Airbnb because we're wanting to go here. You're not going nowhere. The Airbnbs are going to go, they're going to convert back into long-term rentals, or they're just going to sell them off completely. It's my prediction, of course. I could be wrong. I could be wrong about a lot of this stuff. I don't care. I like talking about these sorts of things because I'm a realist. These are the things that make sense to me. There's going to be major corporations that have these big, massive offices with all of these, you know, pencil pushers and paper shovers and all of this stuff that they're going to realize none of this was even remotely legitimate to have in there. Why are we paying all this money for rent when we can trim that fat and send these employees at home to work? And those that can't cut the mustard, we just flat fucking firing them there. We take their jobs, we put them on the other guy, and we never give him a raise because he was that dedicated, because he was always a yes man. Is that real? You're goddamn right it is. It's so real. Man, that's going to happen. They're going to find out that companies could survive without their staff in their offices. Oh, yeah. And then next thing you know, you're going to be tying back into your Zoom thing, right? A company that's tied into China for whatever reason. It does have suspicious ties to China, so be careful with that. That and TikTok, both of them. The others seem to be okay. House Party, they're a blast. Google Meet, it's Google, you know. You know what they're doing. So that's the one thing about Google is they're transparent. But I'm telling you, things are going to change. And they're going to change, maybe not for the best, but it'll be, well, yeah, that's the way it will be. It'll always be for the best because that's how everything works out. Always for the best.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Social distancing slows the spread of coronavirus, so we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. More info at coronavirus.gov. Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Someday when we get past all of this, and we will, yeah, it's... We'll look back on the year 2020 and go, man, what the fuck happened, man? That was a weird deal, man. We had this pandemic and man, it was, you know, we didn't think it could be any worse. And then May came and then June. And then we thought, oh, my God, look at these giant hornets. They're like 2 inches and they eat all the honeybees and they'll kill you if they sting you, which is a fact, apparently. They're coming in. And then, oh, my God, the National Weather Service is saying, there's going to be so many goddamn hurricanes. You're not going to know what to do with yourselves. It's just going to be all of this mayhem and complete wild things that we just can't control. And what are we going to do? We're going to share memes on Facebook about how fun it is to be stuck at home with my dog and my 2-year-old. That's what it's going to be. nobody's taking it anyway seriously. And really, you shouldn't, because after all, what good is that going to be? You just kind of have to kind of ride it along.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, so there you go. That's what's coming up next time on the program. Oh, my goodness. Tonight, Radio Memphis would be normally the Booze and Blues. Not in studio as of yet, although I may sneak down there at some point over the next several weeks and start going on again, but without guests, which will be weird. But in the meantime, there will be blues music that you can tune into. That's 8 p.m. Central Time to the midnight hour at radio-memphis.com, available on any device. And you can just, you know, hang out, have you a cocktail, and listen to the blues. Why not? That sounds like a lot of fun. Because it is! Monday, tomorrow, not going on the air for the morning show. LJ is, he's got this thing that he does on Sundays that takes him into the early Monday morning hours, and he's just going to be a little tired. So, and it's great because I've got clearly enough on my plate to take care of. I've got to do some more stuff, and that gives me a day to get an extra day to get some stuff done without having to be down at the studio. So, and it, you know, reduces my risk of getting infected. So, so Monday, it's, you know, it's just music and stuff, you know, it's just the way that goes. Right. So, yeah. Anything else before I go? Stay in touch with the Instagram, my Instagram feed, if you will. That's primarily where the new stuff that is going up to YouTube will be happening. Believe it or not. Just fine. Just spell my name. RICCHETTER. That's where I am. I don't make up hokey names like that. At least none that you're aware of. All social media is my name. Find me on any one of these platforms there and give us a follow, give us a like, give us whatever it is that you're doing, and that'll be that. And you can stay up with what's going down with the new stuff that we're working on. And yes, the thing with the tombstones is real. Not that anybody would doubt that, but it is not a Radio Memphis production. It's something completely different, and that'll be fun. It's so far it's fairly simple, thank God. And then there's another thing that's coming along under the heels of that, but we'll tell you about that as we get a little bit closer to. So there you go. That's it. That's all I got this time. I'm done. I got places to go. I don't got shit to do. Maybe go make a cocktail, perhaps a sandwich. There's an idea. Let's see what's happening in my kitchen. You do the same. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar. And this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.